Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 981. It's the 31st of January 2018. On the podcast today, I have Leon Kotzer, Chief Executive Officer of Jubilee Metals Group, that's JLP, and Leon discusses their quarterly operation update, which is quite bullish on. Also on the podcast, Dr. Steve Staley, CEO of Upland Resources, UPL, talks about the substantial new investors, which are the Tune Group, who own AirAsia, QPR Football Club, Tune Hotels Group, and other businesses. Worth checking out. One of the guys there, Tony Fernandez, net worth apparently $650 million. Also on the podcast, Dr. Dan Gooding, CEO of Nuformix, that's NFX, and Dan explains the significance of the positive results they received from their NXP002 pilot study in lung and liver fibrosis. And Dan also provides a bit more background information on the licensing agreement they did just before Christmas with their NXP001 in China. And, as always, I'm the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Leon Kotzer, Chief Executive Officer of Jubilee Metals Group. That's JLP ticker. Leon, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Justin.
Now, yesterday I had someone actually approach me saying, what do you think of Jubilee Metals Group's quarterly operations update? I said, it seems to read very positive to me. So, but listen, I've got the expert in the chair here, so you can take us through it, Leon, in a bit. But before we do that, for people listening right now and not quite sure of what you do as a company, can you summarise the operations, please, Leon?
Yeah, sure. Thank you, Justin. So Jubilee Metals Group, is, as the name says, is we focus on the recovery of metals from surface assets. We recover chrome, we recover platinum, and also we've acquired a position into a company that holds both lead, zinc, and vanadium in stocks at surface. We focus on the metallurgical process and bringing these metals to the market as quickly as we can. We currently hold operations in South Africa that operate and recover these metals, and we're looking to expand into Zambia at the moment.
Yeah, and I suppose you're in a good position to tell. I mean, it seems to me that the sentiment towards commodities are changing to a more positive light. What's your feeling, Leon, on the ground there?
We're also picking it up. We're picking it up from a number of areas. We're picking it up from investor interest, and we're also picking it up from the industry. The technologies are driving very hard at the moment. You know, when you look at the new energy metals, looking at powering batteries, powering fuel cells, powering the world of energy, it does excite a lot of companies, especially in the base metal groups. Platinum, of course, being linked to the fuel cell, and we're definitely seeing that more positive sentiment coming into the market.
Excellent stuff, and I suppose that's partly reflected in your quarterly operations update. So take us through some of the highlights, if you could, Leon.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we brought out the quarterly update. So the quarterly is for the month ending of December, which is notoriously a tough period over the Christmas and festive period. But we were very satisfied in being able to bring out results that continue to show that our Hoornik operation, which is, of course, our very big operation in South Africa that recovers chrome and platinum, continues to increase its earnings. It more than doubled, or close to doubled, its earnings from quarter three into quarter four. We delivered about £1 million of net earnings out of that project. Our smaller chrome entity, De La Kong in the north, also produced positive earnings during this period, even though we had spent quite a bit of capital on that operation to expand it, because we are taking in more and more material from third-party sources. So we had to improve that operation's flexibility. But beyond that, we were able to still grow the group's overall earnings by a significant margin of 43%. We had set an initial target that our quarter four, we were hoping to deliver a $2 million mark in earnings. We fell slightly short of that. We delivered about a $1.75 million during quarter four. We were probably shortchanged by a strong and strengthening South African rand. Mm-hmm. You know, it strengthened more than 18% to the dollar. And of course, our cost base is in rands and our revenue is in dollars. But beyond, even with that taken into the numbers, we were still able to significantly reduce our unit costs per platinum ounce as well, making us probably one of the lowest, if not the cheapest, platinum producer in the industry.
Yeah, and so, you know, like you say, it's a traditional time of year that it slows down a bit. I mean, so firstly, I mean, two questions. You seem quite happy about this update. Are you? And secondly, are we expecting to see, you know, this improve as we go into the next quarter?
Sure, 100%. Yes, we're satisfied. For a quarter four, it's a very good, solid set of numbers, strong growth in earnings. And of course, absolutely, yes, we expect that growth to continue into the first quarter of 2018 as we put behind us the festive seasons. We normally use that period to accelerate maintenance, expansion, capital investments, to try and utilize the time as best we can in the operations. And now that that's behind us, yes, we look forward to a very strong first quarter of 2018.
Yeah, I know. Do you know what? The festive period does get in the way, doesn't it? It's like, which is quite good to hear you trying to make fruitful use of that time, because, you know, I love stock markets, I love business, and I love investing. And when they shut down over the Christmas period, I get slightly annoyed because I'm forced to do stuff I don't want to do, you know? But so it's good to see you are doing something fruitful and sort of reinvesting and doing stuff that you can't do throughout the year. But it's it looks positive there. So, Leon, if someone's listening and likes the sound of this, but they're not yet following the story, give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page and add you to their watch list, please.
Well, thanks, Justin. Yeah, I mean, firstly, of course, we've shown and we continue to show, and I'm quite confident that we will continue to show very strong earnings growth. You know, it's double-digit earnings growth we're showing quarter on quarter, and I don't see why that won't continue in the immediate future. We have a project pipeline packed with surface projects, and as we've told, even in this last announcement, we will be executing these projects in 2018, so there's additional project and earnings growth in the near term to be added to what we're already delivering. And of course, very importantly, is we are funded to execute those projects. We are not coming to the market to ask for the funds to execute these projects. So we as a company believe we have a very strong and exciting 2018 ahead of us.
Excellent. As far as news, what can we expect in the next month, a couple of months, Leon?
I think the key focus and to keep look at our strategy is, of course, the how and the when and at what size we'll be executing these projects. That'll be our key news flow. You know, we have the Kabwe project in Zambia that we are finishing off that due diligence and background development on the process for that lead, zinc, and vanadium project. And we're looking to bring to market, you know, within February, what is our strategy on that project. And of course, as we've announced, we are looking at executing yet another platinum project within this year.
Excellent stuff. Leon, good to chat to you. And like I said, it sounds very busy, so no doubt we'll chat again in the not-too-distant future. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Steve Staley, CEO of Upland Resources. That's UPL ticker. Steve, thanks for joining me again.
That's an absolute pleasure, Justin.
Now, nice bit of news out, and we'll get to that in a bit. Quite impressive. and I'm sure shareholders will be pleased to see this release. But before we get into it, Steve, for people who are not shareholders and people who are new to the podcast maybe, could you explain what Upland Resources is all about, please?
Certainly, yeah. We are an upstream oil and gas company. We're listed on the main market, the London Stock Exchange. We're a standard listing. We have interests at the moment in the UK onshore, and we are looking to add to that also in the UK, but also North Africa and in the Far East.
Mm. All right. Well, this update here is very exciting. So it's entitled sort of, sort of new investor, substantial new investor. Explain it, Steve, because it's the Toon Group, and I'm sure I've heard of the guys behind this, or one of the guys anyway, because he's quite a bit of a celebrity and very well known, and he has connections to this company. But explain what this is all about, please, Steve, if you could.
Yeah, certainly. Toon Group, set up and owned by Kamarudin Merinan and Tony Fernandez. It's a very entrepreneurial group, perhaps one of the most entrepreneurial in Asia. They own a variety of businesses. Perhaps the most prominent ones amongst them are AirAsia. That was bought by the Toon Group for about less than a pound, and is now been turned around to become one of the biggest three, I believe, airlines in Southeast Asia. They have over 180 aircraft. He also owns, the outfit also owns QPR Football Club, the Caterham Group, which builds cars here in the UK, a hotel group, and we're very pleased to be now part of that group of companies, very honoured that they're making an investment in Upland Resources. They're investing £1 million.
Yes, yeah, so that's £1 million, what, 1.35 pence, we're just above that now. But it's worth pointing out, Tony Fernandez is a bit of a hero in Malaysia because he is the star of The Apprentice. He is like the Alan Sugar over here, or the Donald Trump in America. And so he's very well known. Just checking out now, his net worth apparently, according in 2017, was $345 million. That's him. So this is substantial. I know you've got some big connections there in Malaysia, but how did this come about then, is it Steve?
Oh, the initial contact was through our chairman, and they know each other, both prominent Malaysian businessmen, and we've given a number of presentations to the Toon Group, and they've become very interested in our business, and we've taken it from there, and very very pleased to see it come to fruition today.
Yeah, excellent. Because these kind of guys, I assume, when they join the register, they're not the kind of guys that will sell a week later. You know, they're the kind of guys who will stick with you for a while, won't they?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're not in here to, make a turn. They're not traders. These guys are investors.
Yeah, so, and obviously, like I say, you can't say anything officially of what's happening because you've got interest going. You say, you're in discussions in North Africa and there in the Far East there, and you can't say the detail there. But is everything, I assume by this, that everything's progressing quite well over there, is it?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
I love the way you realize you can't say a lot more than yes.
I can't say a lot. No, I can't. Until I can, I can't. Yeah. But things are progressing well. And, we will announce progress as soon as we can in both those areas.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on to this country. So the WIC prospects, that's the last thing you announced, of course. Take us through what's happening there, Steve. What's next there and what this money will be spent on as well, please.
Yeah, look, WIC, we've undertaken a conditional farm-in for 40% of the WIC permit. That's just offshore northeast Scotland, shallow water. And the prize there is potentially very large. The structures there could contain up to 250 million barrels, we estimate. That is particularly interesting, not only from the point of view of size, but also the well that will be drilled on WIC should be spudded towards the end of August this year. So this is near-term drilling activity and excitement for a big prize.
Yeah, so tell us about the prize. What's the potential size here?
Well, as I say, up to about 250 million barrels in place. And that's very substantial. I mean, for a company of our size, that is an absolute company maker. And it is an exploration well, so it comes with all those risks. But we've spent a lot of time assessing it, and we like the risk-reward balance here.
Yeah, and what's nice is that you said that these, you know, they've invested, the Tune Group's invested £1 million pretty much, and you've got approximately 1.99 million, you know, in it's already on the balance sheet there. So, and you're only sort of just over around about a six million market cap now with this money. So, you've got a lot of cash and a lot of opportunity, and so it's looking quite exciting, isn't it?
Well, I think so. Yeah, I mean, I think there's an exciting future stretches ahead of us, and you know, it's great to have now an additional cornerstone investor there with us, and so that makes the journey easier.
Okay, well, let's look at say North Africa. Last question. Obviously, I can't push you too hard on any of this, but let's look at it in terms of percentages getting towards the line of announcing something. What percentage do you say we are in the Far East, and what percentage do you say in North Africa, if it's possible? Because obviously it's not in your hands, I assume, sometimes in the hands of authorities, and you never know how long it will take. But, you know, is it possible to put a percentage on it?
It's very difficult to, Justin. But where I would agree with you is that, you know, as always, and this also applies to the UK, of course, we are always in the oil and gas industry to a degree in the hands of arms of government whose decisions we need. And we can only move at a pace that's dictated by those arms of government. But I mean, what I would say is that things are moving well in both North Africa and in Southeast Asia. And, you know, I do hope that we can announce something for the investors soon on at least one of those. I know, you know, some of them will say, oh, he always says that, but we are getting closer and closer, and we will be able to make an announcement, I hope, in the near future.
Marvelous stuff. I know, you know, it's like you said, you suggested before that it should have been here, the announcement, but there, so it's taking longer than you expect, and but like I said, time will tell. But are you confident that 2018 will be, you know, quite a transformational year for Upland Resources?
I am, as far as confident as one can be. Yeah. But it's looking very exciting on a number of fronts.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Good. Well, listen, if anyone's listening to this, Steve, and like the sound of this, not following you yet, give them three quick reasons in summary why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets and add you to their watch list, please.
Okay, well, the first, and if you like, it's the first in terms of time as well, is WIC, mm-hmm. Near-term drilling excitement. So that's going to be coming along, say, towards the end of August. That will be spudding. Secondly, and we've got the Far East and North African assets as well. So they, you know, we're working on those. Mm-hmm. We hope to be able to announce those. At least one of them in the near future. So that's a bit more excitement this year. And then thirdly, I mean, on the back of our announcement today, you know, I'd say, look, we've got an expanding group of cornerstone shareholders here that was going to underpin future growth. And, you know, and it's really great to have Tune, you know, highly entrepreneurial group as one of those investors.
Yeah, absolutely. It's certainly, you know, you know, validation of what you're doing, and surely must make your proposals a lot more sort of, more confident in those proposals, because it must be excellent to have, you know, like I said, some of the big guys like this, very entrepreneurial, and putting some money into the business. Very, very nice. Steve, good to chat to you, and like you say, who knows when that news will drop, but hopefully we'll chat again in the not-too-distant future.
That's great. Been a pleasure. Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Dr. Dan Gooding, CEO of New Formix, and the ticker there is NFX. Dan, good to chat to you again.
And to you, Justin.
You've had a nice update out, and it looks like you're keeping busy there, and you are sort of newly listed. So I like to do this for all companies, but especially for newly listed companies. Dan, for people listening right now, explain, what is New Formix all about, please?
Sure. Well, New Formix is essentially a pharmaceutical development company. We work exclusively on small molecules for investors familiar with the biotech space. You'll see the prevalence of biological treatments into that space now, but we are sticking still with small molecule-based treatments, and we use a technology called CoCrystal technology. What we're able to do with that technology is take really exciting small molecule drugs, which you know already safe and well tolerated by patients, but give them new properties to be able to go off and do innovative things that address currently unmet medical needs.
I understand. So it's quite a clever way of, so to explain, and that's advantageous in what way? Is it, I suppose it's advantageous for you because it doesn't take so long to get to studies and to apply these medicines. But what else is the advantage in this then, Dan, co-crystal technology?
Well, when one looks at some of the risks associated with pharmaceutical and biotech development, one can probably broadly reduce it down to 2 points, that of safety and that of efficacy. Yeah. Well, if we're already at a starting point where we're working with a molecule that we already know is really safe and well tolerated by patients, we've already discharged one of the key risks in development. The second thing is then being able to demonstrate that a drug is highly efficacious in the intended use. Mm-hmm. And when we go into making those kind of decisions about what molecules to develop and why, because we already know so much about what that molecule has the potential to do, we can make much more informed decisions about the development path that we choose to use going forward. So we did. Basically, we discharge risks in pharmaceutical development. One, by already knowing about safety. Mm-hmm. Two, by taking much more informed decisions about what we do going forward. Where the co-crystal technology comes in, we're able to now highly differentiate and highly protect old molecules to let them go off and do new things. So these are two of the components that one would want to have in place if one were to have an idea about a new way to use an old drug. And typically, these things are missing from being able to enable those ideas to go forward. So the co-crystal technology is brought in strategically to bring patent protection and significant differentiation to underpin us taking molecules forward to do interesting new things.
Marvellous stuff. All right. Now, I was away when you last released your last bit of news. We'll cover that a little bit. But the news out is positive results from NXP002 pilot study in lung and liver fibrosis. Now, you're in this area and you're in oncology as well. So take us through these positive results, Dan, and what they mean. What's the significance here?
Well, the significance is, these are preclinical studies, and it is early days. However, we're privileged to have some early access to some world-leading science coming out of Newcastle University. And what that science allows us to do is actually study effectively living human disease tissue. Now, fibrosis is, a very, very exciting area. One only needs to look at, say, from a commercial angle, at some of the transactions that have been completed in this space for companies developing treatments for fibrotic conditions. But more importantly, we can look at what's happening for patients. These conditions are typically associated with very high mortality. Mm-hmm. And the limited numbers of treatments that are currently out there for some fibrotic diseases have borderline efficacy and really pretty horrendous side effects that patients who actually elect to come off treatment because they're not seeing any sign of improvement in their condition, but their side effects are just really so unbearable. So coming back to my point earlier, we're going into, ideally going in to be able to treat a condition with a drug that we already know is tolerable and safe. So that's a great upside for the patient. What this data shows us is that in human tissue, we are effectively able to treat fibrosis and halt that fibrotic process. So this is a very unique research model that gives us results that put us exceptionally close to patient. They tell us that if we can get the drug into the patient, then the drug has got a very high likelihood of being efficacious in halting the fibrotic process.
Excellent. And so you say it's early doors here. So what's next here then?
Well, what's next is that we will now commence two things. Firstly, the data from the study tells us exactly the kind of product that we need to develop. So we're now kicking off that process in terms of developing the product would eventually go into patients. Secondly, we're just extending the study To build upon the pilot results that we've seen already. So those are the two things that we're focusing on at the moment in this program.
Excellent stuff. And just to ask you a question about your last deal, I mean, you've only been sort of listed in October, but you hit the ground running with your 2.5 million payment plus double-digit royalty sales. And this is on NXP001. So just explain this. So it's in China, wasn't it, the sale was? I mean, you know, obviously that royalty payment was 2.5 million, which is quite substantial. But the double-digit royalty, can you say what percentage that is? And also, what kind of forecast of sales are you hoping to get from this deal, Dan?
Of course. So the royalty number is 10%.
Yeah.
Now, the product that we're talking about is going into the oncology supportive care space. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit tricky for us to give sort of hand on heart numbers as to exactly the kind of royalty that we might be receiving. But you know, one has to look at what we know about this drug and this space already. It's traditionally a relatively high priced drug, whereas we will be reducing the price of the drug to open up wider access. The end market price of the drug in China in relation to this particular transaction is obviously yet to be agreed with regulators and these things. However, what we have done is built models that suggest that revenue from this kind of product could be anything between 20 to 200 million sterling in that Chinese market. Now, whereas that's quite a broad spread, it certainly gives an indication as to relatively conservative models of what a company might be able to generate in terms of sales in that space. And we have to remember that China has a very large and growing oncology problem, mm-hmm. if you like, and therefore the ability of us to get, towards some of those larger numbers, we're dependent on a marketing partner to be able to get the drug into the hands of patients. And so that's really what will, determine the eventual sort of royalty numbers that we see. Pricing, which will be determined with regulators, and the ability of our marketing partners to get the drug out to oncology clinics.
Marvellous stuff. And when does this start? When will you get the fee, and when will you get the royalty? When does it start, sales start happening?
Sure. Well, the bulk of the fee will be paid once we deliver results on our pilot bioequivalent study, which is work ongoing at present. The patent and regulatory situation in China doesn't allow us to enter the market with this product until 2019. So we're looking at hopefully being in position by then or close to then with our partner being able to have a product certainly going through the regulatory stages of approval by then in China to get as close to that date as possible.
Yeah, so next year. And of course, I assume you're looking at other markets as well?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, we've filed global patents that cover our CoCRISPR technology, which enables this product in this program. Now, the product itself as well is a globally approved product, and yes, absolutely, we'll be looking at selling US, European rights as well to other drug company partners.
Yeah. Now, you are sort of a sub 20 million market cap company. What's the potential? I mean, looking at a reasonable potential for these drugs. I mean, it's probably way off yet. Quite a few years off, but I mean, what do you think the potential is, Dan? I mean, have you looked at that?
Well, I think, yeah, of course, we've looked at it. Again, I think, what's really exciting is what we're doing on the fibrosis side. As I've said, not only is that exciting for patients and having treatments that will be efficacious, but also things that they can take for chronically for the rest of their lives. One has to look at those kinds of products that have been licensed to companies in a similar vein. And, they are substantial numbers that one would typically associate with the biotech sector. The really interesting thing now for Nuformix is how we can add some more critical mass to our pipeline. Mm-hmm. So, in addition to having a fibrosis product, which offers sort of midterm, potentially very large upside, we have our oncology supportive care product, which is more shorter term, revenue, which supports R&D. The question now is for the team that we've put in place, which is how can we grow that pipeline to bring more critical mass so that, you know, we can look at either completing multiple out-licensing deals or build, you know, as I say, more critical mass to support a trade sale. So they are the kind of envisaged end games, if you like, on the commercial side.
Marvellous stuff. Well, Danny, you've been quite busy. Like I said, you haven't been listed long, but you've been very busy, and it seems you're going in the right direction here. And if people are listening right now and like the sound of this, but are not yet following the story, give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets and add you to their watch list, please.
Yeah, of course. I think if we were to consider our first reason, I think we, as you say, we have been listed only a short time. But I think what we've demonstrated in the time that we have been listed is that our lead programs are making all the right kind of progress. We're delivering commercially, we're delivering technically, and all of that's in line with our strategy of targeting areas of significant and growing unmet medical need. I think secondly, we're well funded, and also in line with our strategy, we're generating milestone funding from product out licensing, as we've just spoken about with NXP001. Lastly, I'd have to point to our management and scientific advisory teams. These are the team that will help us continue to develop our pipeline of products underpinned by co-crystal IP.
Lovely stuff, Dan. Good to chat to you. And you know, like I said, you are keeping busy. So hopefully we'll chat again in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
I look forward to that. Thanks, Justin.
OK, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. And at five, it's a bit of a, this often happens, a bit of a fall that can attract sort of bargain hunters, you know, in big cap stocks. And today it's Capita Group, which is down 41%. At £2.2, down to market cap of 1.38. I know it's one of Neil Woodford's star fund manager. I think he's dropped the star bit now. One of his big holdings, and he's taking the hammering this year. But Capita, CPI. At four, Ferrum Crescent, FCR. At three, Modern Water, MWG, sorry. It's worth looking into that. That's on my watch list, do some more research on, because they signed a cracking deal. A revenue of 22 million, I think, over 6 years, some of that, but then in market cap around 16 million. So it's, you know, it's transformative, can be, if I've read it correctly. At two, ARC Minerals, ARCM, of course, it's the ORTAC. So if you were following ORTAC and wonder why you haven't had any RNSs, then just type in ARCM if you want to follow those. And number one, i3 Energy, i3E. I'll talk a bit more about this in the podcast. I talked with Alan about these. I did buy these on Monday, I've got to say, and they've just done a placing, which was heavily discounted, but they have risen quickly, you know, a lot in the last 2 days. But it got bought up, so they had a little drop today. They're down 24%, down, and now they're up 16%. So heck of a sway. All right, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. Upland Resources, subscription of substantial new investor. I talked to Steve about that earlier. Echo Energy, corporate update and new website. At three, Metal Tiger, T3 pre-feasibility study results. At two, Blenheim Natural Resources, positive lithium results. And at number one, Asia Met Resources, BKZ, delineation drilling and plans for Butong. Delineation, I should say. I'm still a hold of Asia Met, long and strong, doing us proud. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hear the intriguing stories behind some of the world's best love songs in the FT's Life of a Song podcast. From soul to funk, to punk to jazz. Discover how classic songs like Smells Like Teen Spirit, Yesterday, and Stairway to Heaven were born. Search online or listen at ft.com/podcasts. Plus, don't miss the new Life of a Song book, featuring a compilation of 50 songs that have appeared in FT weekend columns. Pick up your copy from Amazon, your local bookshop, or give a gift to someone who'd enjoy this brilliant literary mixtape.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.